It's World Turtle Day today, an initiative honouring the extraordinary species of turtles and tortoises globally. Many species around the world are threatened with extinction. The freshwater turtles of the Lower Murray are no exception. In a bid to tackle the problem, we're being encouraged to become citizen scientists and take part in the 1 Million Turtles Community Conservation Program. Professor Mike Thompson joins me to discuss. Hi there, Mike.
Good morning, Jenny, and happy World Turtle Conservation Day.
Absolutely, and to you. I mean, I've given a little bit of a description of what the day's about, but what's it about to you?
Well, we want to raise the profile of turtles, and particularly on the Murray. You know, who doesn't love a turtle? Turtles are those sort of animals that people just sort of gravitate to. They're, you know, the plodders of the world, and they beat their hair in the long run. But they're in deep, deep trouble in the lower part of the River Murray. And we know generally in the Murray that one of the species, we've got three species, one of the species has declined by more than 90% in the last 30 years.
Yikes.
So for every turtle that you see, 30 years ago there were 10 turtles. And probably many more than that if you go back 100 years. We just don't have the data to show that, though. The second most common species has declined by nearly 70% in that time. And the third species hasn't changed at all, but that was the one that was rare to start with. So it's still rare, but it's not declining and it's not increasing.
What are the names of those three turtles?
So the one that's declined by 90% is the one that most people will be familiar with. It's the long-necked turtle. Well, we can call them tortoises as well. In our part of the world, we often call them tortoises,
mm-hmm.
but it doesn't really matter whether you call them tortoises or turtles. So the long-necked tortoise, that's the one that you often see walking across roads and unfortunately run over by cars on the roads. And we know that getting hit by cars, for an aquatic turtle, it seems a bit strange that one of their biggest problems is they get hit by cars on the road, but they do because they get up and walk around. The second most common turtle is the Murray short-necked turtle, that comes out. People will see them basking on logs in the water and things from time to time, but really they're only coming out of the water for the females to nest. And unfortunately, some of those get killed on the roads too. And the rare one is the biggest turtle, I think it's the biggest side-necked turtle in Australia. It's the broad-shelled turtle. It's got an extraordinarily long neck and head. So when they're out walking across the land, they may be a metre or more in length from the tip of their nose to the back of their shell.
Wow.
Because their head sticks straight out and they walk along. But the only time you see them is when the females are coming out of the water to nest. Other than that, they're totally aquatic. They don't seem to come out and bask. So it's the species that people are least familiar with, really.
Right. So what's aside from road deaths, what's causing a lot of our turtles to decline so rapidly?
Yes, it's a good question. We think that the biggest problem is predation by introduced foxes. So we know that in some areas, foxes eat all of the eggs. They're absolutely amazing scavengers, I suppose. They seem to be able to predict where turtles are going to nest, and they come there, and they've got such good noses that they just go up and down and up and down the nesting areas, and they dig up the eggs and dig up the nest and eat all the eggs. But having said that, there are a lot of other threatening processes as well, and I've mentioned the cars, because most of the turtles that are being hit by cars are reproductive females, and killing them has a big impact on the population. The various water regulation structures are problematical for turtles, fishing, getting hit by boats. So there's a whole range of things that, I call it a death by a thousand cuts.
Mm.
There's a whole range of things that are impacting turtles. Oh, the impact of carp, we don't really know. We know big carp do eat baby turtles. What their impact is quantitatively, we just really don't know.
So how can we all help out? I mean, I understand ordinary locals are helping to save the plight of turtles in the 1 Million Turtles Community Conservation Program.
That's right. So we've got this national program now, and if people want to find out more about it, they go to the 1 Million Turtles website, and you put in 1 Million Turtles into Google or something, and it doesn't matter how you put it in, it will come up. And there is enormous amount of resources on there to help you understand what the problem is and how you can help. Now, in our part of the Murray, we're sort of blessed with a lot of really, really excellent people and community groups who are trying to help the turtles by protecting nests, by saving them on the roads and so on. One of those is the Paywalla group, which is Paywalla is a recreated wetland. It used to be a dairy farm, recreated wetland between Murray Bridge and Manham on the east side of the river. Fantastic community group there, and they will be looking for volunteers a little bit later in the year when nesting occurs. So nesting occurs over summer, so there's not very much turtle activity at the moment, but if anybody's interested in helping to basically survey for turtles nesting in the nesting season, have a look on the 1 Million Turtles website and contact probably Sylvia Clark, who's the key person in South Australia, to make contact, and they'd be very pleased to hear from you. One of the questions I'm often asked, Jenny, if I may, is why do we care?
Yes.
The turtles disappear, so what? And a couple of people have actually even said to me, oh, that'll be good, we'll get more yabbies. it's not here. But it's not quite as simple as that. The numbers of turtles, freshwater turtles, in wetlands around the world, and including in the Murray, were enormous. They were a fundamental basis of the ecosystem. So we're talking about the sort of biomass of turtles being equivalent to the biomass of wildebeest that you see on the Serengeti. We're talking about enormous contribution of these animals to the ecosystem. And they provide what we call ecosystem services. So all three of these species eat dead animals. So we've done lots of experiments to see what impact that has. And we've used carp, because one of the biggest inputs of dead animals into the river is dead carp. People see dead carp all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
And these turtles clean them up. So what we've found is if you don't have turtles, these dead animals in the water just fester, and they really have an impact on water quality. So you get rid of the turtles and you get rid of that ecosystem service. They help keep the water clean and, of course, the whole ecosystem healthy.
Absolutely. And they're just extraordinary as well, the way that, you know, they live to a very old age.
Yes. So all three of these species take about 10 years to reach sexual maturity. And how long they live, we don't know, but it's many decades, and it may even be 100 years or maybe even more than 100 years. We do know the length of life of some species of turtles. So, for example, Captain Cook gave a small Galapagos tortoise to the King of Tonga, and it died in 1968. So it was 200 years old.
Wow.
So we know they're living a long time. We don't necessarily think ours live for 200 years, but they live for many, many decades.
If these turtles could talk, hey?
Absolutely.
Oh, so wonderful to hear that you're still continuing on with this work. And if people want to take part, 1millionturtles.com is a good place to start. Thanks so much for your time today, Mike Thompson.
Thank you very much, Jenny.